everybody doing? It's been a while. I've been here. I'm Farah, by the way. Welcome to the Christian Career Podcast, and I'm going to be your host for today. And today, our topic we're gonna treat today is mistakes to avoid at work. That's what we're gonna talk about today. Because we often make mistakes one way or the other, which might affect us at work, you know, per se one way or the other. So I've come to, like, you know, discuss some of the mistakes that we can avoid at work. So I hope you pick one or two and, you know, stop doing them or discard doing them, and it's really go a long way. So, and I hope you enjoy this podcast. Okay, normally, yeah, we make mistakes at work, and mistakes often happen, like, let's say, most times. And no matter how experienced we are in our place of work, you know, no matter how experienced we are, the inevitable always happens. Like, mistakes are bound to happen, so keep that in mind. Not as if you can be perfect or anything, yeah. And some of these work mistakes, they can be more severe than others. Some are light, some are heavy, you know, some is like, some are medium, but they all reflect on you, you get. And because you are a professional, you have to, like, avoid them, and it will also affect your performance as an employee. Yeah, and obviously some companies use this kind of mistakes. They watch you carefully to grade you for, like, a promotion or something like that. You get. So I've compiled, like, mistakes to avoid, you get, which would be beneficial to you. Just pick one or two and, you know, start working on them. So the first one I'm gonna treat on the list is overworking. Ha! Yes, overworking. Oh my god. You know, as an employee, yeah, the work you do or the amount of work you do is not equal to your worth in that company. That's the first thing. So if you think you're going to overwork and you want to overwork and stand yourself out, man, that's not the solution yet. And rather, it's the quality of work itself. Like, even if you spend 2 hours doing a particular work and you execute it very well, you do all that's necessary, that alone is okay. So if you want to now work 8 hours doing bulk, what, I don't even know if, but overworking is not the big mistake. Like, choose one and focus on it. It can actually lead to stress, like, and you can lose focus in the process. It is a general increase of quality work. So we should actually stop it. I know we all want to stand out and work. We want to prove ourselves. We want to prove our capabilities and all, you get. But and sometimes we might also want to take on extra projects while we are still handling the one that we are still doing. So taking those kind of extra works is not really going to give you, like, the recognition you need yet. But proving your worth is not exactly the same as overworking. That's one thing that we should keep in mind. Like, because you're doing multiple things at the same time, because your hands are doing products at the same time, doesn't mean that you are doing it right. You're simply overworking yourself. Simple as that. So the first one is, don't overwork. Quit it. Choose one at a time, my farabale. It means calm down. Like, just don't stress yourself, because if you actually overwork and you land yourself in the hospital, or let's say you're sick, my dear, within maximum, let's say 2 weeks, you'll be replaced too. That's my own. Just, you know, farabale. I hope you all got that right. Now, the second one on the list is underworking. Just because you should not overwork doesn't mean you should not go and be underworking. It doesn't work that way, bruh. So because you're told not to overwork, you are not do any work. Nah. So as an employee, yeah, you're on company's payroll and you're using company's time. So if you work too little or, like, work with little regard to the quality of your work, like you just do it nonchalantly or not carelessly. You're not only wasting the company's resources and hindering co-workers who rely on what you have to do that particular day or week or month, but it's actually very, very, you're bruising your professional, what's called, reputation now to yourself. Like, you're just putting XXX everywhere on your resume, on your professional, you know, reputation for yourself. And as someone who is not interested in the work, or basically you just lack motivation to do the work, and that's not right. It will affect your team, your subordinate, your boss, one way or the other. They keep complaining, they keep reporting it. Well, some companies report staff that underworked to, well, let's say internal audit. I don't know why I said that, but you should get. So because you are too not of our work, that doesn't mean you should underwork. You should keep it balanced. There should be balance between it. Yes, don't overwork, don't underwork. You're paid for what you have to do, so you have to make use of that 100%. Meanwhile, not stressing yourself and not overworking. You get everything. You know, life has a balance, so we have to balance everything. You get? Now, the third one we're going to look at is still stagnation. So I'm pretty sure we've had the saying, work smarter and not work harder. Yeah, that really applies to in our place of work. We all have our strengths, weaknesses, you know, but not working on your weakness or improving your strength is a common mistake people make at work. Like, you have weaknesses, you don't work on them. You have strength, you don't build them. So what exactly are you doing at work? Like, you're supposed to work on weaknesses and strengthen your strengths. I hope you got that right. And, like, you know, strengthen what your skills that you have, not just staying in one place. That's called skill stagnation. Sorry, I said skill stagnation earlier. It's called skill stagnation. Yeah, it's a very, very unproductive phase that you are in. So the key here is you have to, like, analyze your work, things you've done, and trying to learn the in and outs. Like, for example, what went wrong, what didn't go right, let us say that, what went wrong, what you didn't do that you're supposed to do. You get all those kind of in and outs. Figure what skills that are invaluable for it, the skills that you have to learn in your learning profession, or in your currently working on a project on. You get, you know, basically improving them. Not just staying there and not doing anything. Like, no. You know, even if we are working at a company, at some point we still have to, like, brush ourselves up, because things are changing. Everybody's changing. You cannot stay there and not do anything. Like, improve on your skills, work on your weaknesses. You get, the more efficient you become, the more work you can get done by the end of the day. So it's like effectiveness and efficiency. And obviously, to make your day easier, like, your day-to-day tasks, they will be easier. Yeah. And also, remember, the work, the more work you put into professional self-improvement for your self-related work, like, the more you build on it, the more you try to harness it, the better it will reflect on you as an employee of worth within the workspace, since you're looking for like a spotlight or a promotion. Especially if you're looking for promotion and you're not even doing anything about it, well, just know that you're not going to be promoted anyway. You're going to be there even if you're not to pass yourself. You get, so unless if you want a promotion, or you want to harness yourself, or you want to even transfer to another company, you know, something like that, you cannot stay one place. That is called skill stagnation. That is something we should just avoid, like, completely avoid it. Capish? I hope you all are getting one or twos. I hope you are. So the fourth one, this one is very, very important. Very important. Highly important. Missing deadlines. Deadlines, they are so crucial. They affect every single thing from bottom up. Top bottom. Bottom up. You should get the point. like, but some may be like tighter than others, some may be light, some may be, won't be as, you know, tough or heavy as some deadlines. You get the, you can skip, no, not really skip, but you can still at least work towards deadlines. You get, but it is your job to manage time effectively and meet the deadlines. If possible, before deadlines, you can submit it. Yes, that would be a great thing to do. And missing deadlines can really reflect badly on you as a person. Oh no, nobody hates people that miss it, especially if they really need it, especially if it's time bound or like you're handling a project and they say, okay, oh, for example, we're gonna need supply of these materials by the end of the day because you don't want the price to be affected, and you are here, you've not still gotten the stuff they need at, let's say, the day before. Bruh, no one's going like that. You're just putting everybody on frustration level, and it's not good, my dear. So when you're leading someone to think that you're unreliable, that's the worst of the feelings ever. Like, I can't just imagine someone thinking I'm so unreliable at work. That's bad, except if you're okay with it though, but I'm not. And obviously, when you reflect this, that means you're also reflecting that you lack interest in your work and that you're not motivated to do your job. Yeah, so to avoid mistakes like this, try and organize your tasks for the day, like the tasks you have for the day. Try and organize them, try and then prioritize them also. Matter of priority. Try and prioritize it and like separate urgent tasks from projects. When you try and separate them and use try and create to-do list. When you create like a to-do list, you know that this is what you have to do at the end of the day, by this is the time, by this is the day, by this is the month. You know what you're working at, you know what you're working with. But if you just, you know, scatter everything everywhere, that means also, when if you want to do this kind of stuff, you highly have to be organized. Like, someone that's not organized cannot handle deadlines. You know that, okay, this is coming before this, this after this, and this after this. You get, and it's a skill. Also, yeah, it's a skill. What skill is that again? I think it's planning and organizing. That's a great skill that you have to, you know, equip yourself with. You get. And remember, it's always the best idea, I won't say anything, to start early. Start early. You might think the deadline is, let's say, 2 months away. I'm even talking to myself right now. Yes. Well, the deadline is 2 months away. Before you know it, it's only 1 month. Before you know it, it's only 1 week. And you hear panicking for no reason. Ugh. I really hate that. That's like procrastination, basically. You're just procrastinating what you're supposed not to procrastinate. That's procrastination is a disease. It's a disease, forget about it. it's a disease. Honestly, it's a swear word. But you get, where I'm driving at. But if the situation is actually out of your hands, yeah, you can actually reach out to your manager or your boss and explain that this particular deadline you won't be able to meet it because of this and this. A very, very tangible explanation. Yeah, accept that, and of course it's not always possible to, you know, extend the deadlines, but it's a good rule of thumb to follow that if you're not able to meet this deadline, so that the other team members, the other stakeholders that might be affected will know about this. You get, if you don't get it, you still have to get it, right? And like I said earlier, this has to do with like organization also. You know, when you come into work, you have to know what you're supposed to do. You have to be focused. You have to have a schedule. Like, because if you really don't have it, you're practically going to be unproductive, and that is not good. You're going to miss deadline. In the same way, when you have a messy workstation, you don't even know where your battery is. You don't even know where your play paper. You know, your desk is just scattered for no reason. Man, that's just, I don't know. I just can't deal. You just, you know, that's the first step. At your desk space is supposed to be clear. You get, it can be dangerous though. And just simply try and take notes of what needs to be done. Try and clear your table as much as possible. Your files should be scattered everywhere. Everywhere should look organized. At least clear your station. Well, I hope you have said you understand. Now the next one, number five, is ineffective breaks. You know, like I said earlier in my previous podcast that we mentioned, that you have take breaks and all. Some people actually misuse this point. Like, time away from work is very important. Like, you have to rest, regular breaks from your task, you know, to actually help you stay focused and all, to keep you refreshed. Now, when you now want to knock and scatter everything, is when you're not using your breaks wisely. You know, it's a balance, and everything is about balance. If you take too much breaks, too many breaks, you don't have a productive mindset. You're supposed to go and eat, for example. That's when you don't want to Vincenzo, Abi, Superman, Abi. You should get the point. When you want to go and watch what doesn't even concern you in that period of time. So as you're watching it, you're extending your break period. Meanwhile, you have a lot of files on your desk that is due by, let's say, tomorrow. that's those, you know, misusing your ineffective breaks. You get so to avoid this kind of mistake at work here, I think you should take like short breaks at intervals. Like, for example, nothing really fancy, just get up, stretch your legs, look away from your screen, you know, just go around the office. If it's an open environment, that'd be open office space, you get chat to the co-worker for like few minutes, you know, just to stay alert, stay away from your phone. If you keep open on your phone, starting conversations that will drag on and affect your work and deadlines to make you lose focus, just put your phone away for like you know, the period of time you need to stay focused. Yes, so that is really crucial. Don't go and be extending your break saying that you want to go and eat, you want to go and buy. But you do get what I'm driving at, yeah? Thank you. Now, the next one is not being a part of the team. You are there, but you're not there. Do you get? You are there, but you're not there. Your mind is elsewhere. In fact, you have gone, you know? And being an employee means you have to be like part of a team. It's collective efforts. You're not just one person. The team that can do everything. You have to be, you know, you have to be there, you know, staying focused, helping your teammates with what they want, what they need, what you have to do, what is required of you at that very point in time. You know, productive work can only be done when everybody works together to achieve a goal. Am I right? Anyways, when you separate yourself from the team or not engaging with them at all, it's like a huge mistake that can be very harmful if you and your colleagues at work, because they will be frustrated. Like, why is he not being here? Why is he absent-minded? You get that's gonna really frustrate you. Like, what's happening, person? But if you want to avoid this kind of mistake, try and maintain friendly reputation with like your co-workers. You don't have to be friends with them. Like, be friendly, be approachable. Yet, don't be squeezing your face every time. Even if you are going through stuff, you have to leave that stuff at the door of your office before you enter. And just, you know, smile. It's not everybody that understands your situation, and you really don't want to portray that because of this thing affecting me, you're gonna be nasty to everybody. That's not good. You have to learn interpersonal skills then. Anyways, so get to know them, you know, when they are having like office events, help them out from time to time, you know. All these small gestures will often be returned to you when you need them the most. So you have to be part of the team. It's like really important. You can, for example, okay, let's say you're in charge of you're in charge of, let's say, documenting reports, writing reports of meetings, yeah. And obviously, if you don't write the report, how will your, let's say, colleague tender the report to the boss. Like, no, you just have to be there. That's what I'm saying. And the next one I'm going to talk about is not respecting other people's time. I'm going to combine it with taking personal calls. And this will actually, it's in line with meeting deadlines. So obviously, because you missed your own deadline, automatically it affects your co-worker's deadline. It will affect their time. It will affect when they have to go home. It will affect when they have to deliver this service or product. Get. And just like you, they can get distracted or interrupted by their work. Yet, so you have to respect both you and your co-workers' time. And productivity with small things like that is not really engaging in overly long conversations and non-related topics to the work you are doing. Like, you just go to the office, that talk about what doesn't even concern them in the first place. Respect their time. They have a lot of work to do. You're supposed to be working. Yeah? Go to work and work. Stop doing people. But if I get, and writing, also wasting time can also mean writing long email conversations, long email that's confusing. You know, the simple hi, please find attached, hi, please see this, hi, please, hello, good afternoon, hello, all. Make it brief and concise. You don't have to start typing all of what you're thinking on the mail. Brief and concise. Not everybody has time to read what you're sending. Yet. So, and also, on this top point. So, okay, let's say you're talking to a fellow co-worker and a personal call comes in. Obviously, that's an interruption. But that doesn't mean you cannot take personal calls. You have to make it brief. You have to lower your voice at work, especially if it's in an open office workspace. If not, if your office is not an enclosed space, if you have to take that personal call, make it quick. Make it don't spend too much hours on it, like I said earlier, and reduce your voice, you know. And if you've been on a call too long, it might affect someone else. Like, you're supposed to give this person something and you're here on the call distracted. You might even can send the wrong mail or press the wrong stuff or type the wrong stuff that you're not supposed to do. It's actually distracting. Yeah, it is. So whoever called for whatever reason, let them know first that you're work. If it's not an emergency, they can call you back, or you can call them back when you're on break or when you're done with work. Capish? Mm-hmm. I hope you got that. And like I've mentioned before, with the email, yeah, it's an important piece of communication at workplace, like, bruh. But it's so common and it is often used not in the right way, yet. Nobody wants to spend their workhouse reading through a novella or a novel, like I said earlier. Make it simple, concise, brief, and to the point. Like, to the point. You don't have to telling them how was your night or what have you conversation. Just get your messages across, get your questions across within a clear subject and provide context if needed. Like, explain to them in a very understandable manner. You really don't want to go back and forth on the same topic because they are not clear on your question or your statement that you made. Yet, they should be able to get your email from the first few sentences. Yeah. Anyways. Well, the next one is failure to properly communicate. You know, communication is key in every relationship that we find ourselves in. It's the biggest role that we play in this life, communication. Aside from the email, yeah, conflicts may occur, like misunderstanding. And if your point is not passed immediately, like if someone is having a misunderstanding about you right there and then, you should communicate it immediately, not them having some thoughts about you or let's say something happened at work and you have just come clean and clear.
communicate as and when due. Don't be holding information that is very crucial or critical to your relationship or the work you have to do. It's easy to get upset. It's easy to shift the blame. You know, when this kind of situation happens, yet you should try and avoid it. And instead of blaming it on anybody, instead of being passive aggressive, instead of being sarcastic, I know I can do that a lot, but instead of being sarcastic here, you have to be clean and clear with open communication. That is very important. You can't be having the wrong one about something. And if you've heard something about somebody, I'm sorry, I'm too fast, but if you've heard something about somebody and you're not clear or you're having like thoughts, why not go and ask the person? Don't be assuming. That's another thing. Assumption too. Assumption is very terrible. If they didn't tell you by themselves or if you're not 100% sure where the source came from, don't assume. Do not assume. And we know that assumption is the lowest form of, let's say, intelligence. Basically, don't assume and always try and communicate. Yes. So the next point we are going to do is engaging in office politics. Like, don't do that. It doesn't concern you. Office politics is a clear example of a breakdown in clear and open communication. Politics itself is not facts. It has a lot of facts. It's a lot of work to do. Politics is not just, you know, it cleans something. So you engage in office politics, like for example, it's really undermining the openness you have towards a person and it might have like a long detrimental effect on you, your reputation, your co-workers, your team, and it might reduce the productivity and your quality of work in general. So whenever it's possible, try avoid mistakes that involve politics. Try not get involved. It doesn't concern you. It really doesn't concern you. If you're not supposed to be at the circle when you're discussing about somebody, don't be there. Move, walk out. It doesn't concern you. Don't just get yourself involved in it. Like, mind your business. Drink water and mind your business. Like, for real. I don't know why people just engage in something that doesn't concern them. Like, we have work to do. Like, even if you're in an unfortunate circumstance, yeah, you have to use open and clear communication to mitigate or avoid the major conflicts, because it can actually affect you at the end of the day, one way or the other. It's like you being at the wrong spot at the wrong time, wrong place, wrong time. That's very nasty, my dear. I think you should avoid it. So the next one, this should be the last two I'm going to talk about. I hope you guys are really, you know, getting one or two mistakes to avoid at work. So the second to the last one is trouble with feedback. But I know some of us are really sensitive to feedbacks. If we always take negative feedbacks well, if we try and improve ourselves with feedback that we get from our colleagues, from our boss or co-workers, that's a really good thing, really. And feedbacks can really affect the way we behave at work, and obviously we need feedback to improve. So if you have trouble with taking feedbacks, if you're not strong enough to, okay, yes, I did this wrong, I did the mistake, I'll correct myself, I won't do that next time, I'll try and work harder. You know, those phrases, those sentences can really go a long way for us. If you have trouble getting feedbacks at workplace, like say, you're gonna cry every day. For real. So, when we take negative feedbacks and evaluate ourselves, when we keep working on ourselves, who can grow and improve, which is a highly desirable trait at workplace, because not everybody can take feedbacks. When they say, blah, 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 you didn't do this right, you have to do it right next time, don't do this again, your report you wrote is not really constructed well, take it in positively. You do not have to be emotional. You do not have to take it personally. It's just for the workspace. It's for you to improve and grow. Because if they really don't give you feedback, how do you want to grow? Like, how do you want to grow? Don't take it personally, my dear. Everybody give you feedback. It's just for you to handle it really well. Take the bull by the horns and be like, all right, I will improve myself. I will get back on it and make a better feedback next time. Capish? I hope you get that. So the last one I'm going to talk about today is not owning up to your mistakes. Like, psst. When obviously you know that you did something wrong, or you affected, you know, basically when you did something wrong and you're not owning up to it. I know it's a natural reaction to avoid taking responsibility for things that we might have negatively done, or to negatively affect our reputation one way or the other. But keep in mind that responsibility for our mistakes is the is one of the most valued traits in any environment. When they know that you did this stuff and you actually come clean, they'll actually respect you more. Mm-hmm. They will respect you more. And it's better if we learn from our mistakes. You get, when you fall down, get up. Fall down, get up. It's not every time you got to stay on the floor. Just learn from your mistakes and improve on yourself. Make it a point to change and manage to prove yourself to your co-workers. And this way, it will actually reflect much better on you. And just avoid shifting the blame, because shifting the blame is actually really cheesy. It's cowardly. No one likes it, bro. Everybody wants a professional that is capable of doing their work. So if you're doing all these mistakes I've mentioned earlier, it's advisable to start early and stop them. Improve on your strengths, work on your weaknesses, and you know, it's actually going a long way. And I feel if you really have some if you have interpersonal skills, if you have some of these skills, it's actually going a long way to prevent these mistakes. And if you ask what are interpersonal skills, like social skills that they facilitate in open communication and interaction within ourselves as families, co-workers, relationships, anywhere of ourselves, basically. For example, communication, listening skills, negotiation, problem solving, verbal communication, like I said earlier, decision making, when you're assertive, you get, if you have all the skills, emotional intelligence, that one is very important. You just have to have that emotional intelligence. I feel when you have some of these skills, you can prevent some mistakes at work. So it is less for you to work on your interpersonal skills. You get, everybody needs someone that's patient. Everybody needs someone that's patient. No, someone that's not quick to anger, and someone that's open to communication. Someone that practices active listening. Mm-hmm. Those three can go a long way, my dears. Anyways, I really hope you did enjoy this session. I learned to work myself when I was actually bringing the materials together. I really hope you did. If you're new here, I hope you did enjoy it for the first time. If you've been here with us, thank you. Till we meet again on the next episode. Anyways, if you did like it, please share, comment. You know, constructive comments and constructive feedback. I will gladly accept. But again, like it, you know, and please share, like I said earlier. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope you guys have a really nice day. Bye bye.